thankful to hear a Bible study. God, I want to hear and learn from your word. I ask that you would do that. God, I ask that you'd bless the word of God coming forth and that you'd help us to hear and to listen and that our problems wouldn't get in the way. God, I ask you'd help us and bless this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to be turning to Jeremiah chapter 6 to start off. Jeremiah chapter 6, I'm going to start in verse 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall throughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. Verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. That verse said, behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach unto them. It's a reproach. They're not interested in it. And God, another condemnation that God had of it is they didn't delight in it. They had no delight in the word of the Lord. And how can he speak to a people that have no delight in his words? God does speak through his word. That's how he speaks to men, through this book. And if you're unsure of that, and you're not saying that, and you don't believe that, it's because you don't believe what he's already said. He says those things in this book. It's how he speaks to man through his word found inside this book. Verse 11, therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the priest, from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace. And I just want to look at these next couple words. As I was looking at this, I noticed that it didn't quite say exactly how I thought about it. It says, peace, peace, when there is no peace. It's not saying that they're not going to have peace. No, right now, present tense, they have no peace. When there is no peace. And I'm just going to quick flip over to a couple of things that God says about that. In Isaiah, let's just looking at two different verses real quick. Isaiah chapter 57, it's the last verse in that chapter. God said, there is no peace, saith God. Saith my God to the wicked, there is no peace. Present tense, there is no peace. Saith my God to the wicked. And then in Isaiah chapter 48, he says a very similar thing at the last verse. There is no peace, saith the Lord unto the wicked. I should have told you to hold your place, but really I just wanted to look at that when I noticed that verse saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. Because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. So God's gotten down to the root of the problem of these people that have no delight in the word of the God, of the Lord. They do not like his word. They're not going to hearken unto it. God set a man before them, told them to listen to that man. They're not going to do that. And he's getting down to the root of the issue. What is the actual problem? Said he's going to bring upon them the fruit of their thoughts. Their thoughts are the problem. Their thoughts are. And what did their thoughts cause them to do? Their thoughts caused them to reject the word of God. That's what they did. Their thoughts have caused them to reject the word of God. Proverbs 15:26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. Do we believe what God says about this? He said the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Abomination. God hates the thoughts of the wicked. And yet we do esteem our thoughts wonderful. We do esteem our thoughts as of great value. We can judge in the word of God and see exactly how our merits are and compare them among them. But God has said he hates the thoughts of the wicked, hates them. Those thoughts are what caused people to reject the word of God. It's what left me lost. It's what left me in a condition where I could not believe God because I did esteem my thoughts on how to get to God higher than what God actually had said in his word. God had laid out exactly what was necessary for me. Exactly what was necessary. He wanted me to come to a place where I rejected my own thoughts and just believed what he had said. I could not do that. I had to just believe my own thoughts. And I'd say, see, I know this. This just must not, I'm just not getting it. And it just plainly said it. It just plainly said it because I did esteem my own thoughts higher. That's the problem. Wicked man thoughts, God hates them. Isaiah chapter 55. May God help us tonight to even get a hold of some of these thoughts. To get a hold of them, to lay hold on them, to let them work in our hearts. And not what I have to say, unless that it be that God has given me the words that you need to hear, but indeed the very words of God that I'm going to read. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. How many times have we heard that verse quoted and read in so many meetings, in youth weeks, in October meetings? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Oh, good, now seek him. What does that even mean? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Next verse. Same sentence. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord and he will have mercy upon him. What did God say he would do to that man that would reject his own thoughts? He would have mercy upon him. He would have mercy upon him. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon, and that is his will. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Can we just get a hold of the fact that what we're thinking, our very thoughts, are the problem? Your thoughts. Your thought, how you think, that's the problem. And yet we just cannot see it. We just cannot see it. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For he shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Hallelujah. Led forth with peace. But God said there's no peace to the wicked, but he's speaking of those whom he will have mercy upon. But ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. In Jeremiah chapter 4, if it is not comfortable for you to turn a lot, I have just come to terms with the fact that I'm going to turn a lot when I do teach or preach. You don't have to turn every time. I'm going to read as exactly as I can the words of this King James Bible. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 14 says, O Jerusalem, wash thy heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? How long? Notice what he says here in the start of this verse. He says, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness. But I thought it was God. I thought it was God that did do the washing. There's two parts to everything. Sinners must come to God. Sinners must come to God. How will they be washed? Come. Come. That's the call of the whole scriptures. Come. Jeremiah chapter 6. And how would you come? Come to this book. Search. Look in it. Find out whether these things are so. Find out this matter of Jesus Christ. Find out this matter of assurance. Look at what are you unsettled on? Find it. Jeremiah chapter 6. Verse 20, where we left off on before when we were there. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea. They ride upon horses set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the fame thereof. Our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as of a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth, and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Why did he do that? How did God come to a place where he rejected men? Because they rejected his words. We sang that song last night. What more can he say than to you he has said? What more can he say? If you reject what he said, there is no hope. There is no hope. The hope is that you'd believe him.
Amen.
God will reject everyone that rejects his word. Those that reject his word, there is an end. I thought of that celebrity today. I heard some I heard some of my coworkers talking about his death, and if you don't know who it is, that's fine. And someone made a joke about, I hope he died snorting coke or something like that, and I just thought, the verse that immediately popped into my head was, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Rejected God. There is an end. There is an end. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. And I had not meant to stop on this verse, but God had given me another thought just this morning, and I know where it does it fit. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. And not every person in this congregation has the same understanding of the things of God. Not every person in this congregation is as settled on certain details about God, about the words of God, about the moving of God, about the ministry of the Holy Ghost and the work of God that has gone on. Not every person is. Many would not agree on how I feel about certain things, and many would not agree with you. If you could understand each person's thoughts, they're very different about these things. But God is laying a foundation in each person's life. And each person, he is revealing things about himself that they cannot deny. And he's building upon that. And the person that has just a foundation laid, some understanding of God, and looks to the height of perhaps what the preacher is saying and says, I'm not sure I believe all that. None of it must be so. No, what has God showed you? What can you not deny? What can you not deny? What has God truly shown you? God is upset about you, about what you're rejecting in those little things that he showed you. And you choose to reject the mass because you will not look at that little thing. God would build upon it, but you reject that little thing. And he will not build upon it because you reject it. You reject it. Build upon that little thing. Oh, do not look away from the things of God. Continuing on here, verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And that's what I'm speaking of. They're without excuse in the eyes of God. And yea, in their own sight, at the judgment, they will be without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of God, the glory of the uncorruptible God, into an image made like to corruptible man, and to be birds and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, interesting, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, is that you? Is that you? God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And I want to look at that word once more. What exactly did he say that? Did he turn them over to a reprobate so that there is no hope? No, he turned them over to a reprobate mind. I believe I have been there. Where all of my thoughts, all of my opinions were rejected of God. And by the great grace of God, he brought me back from that. I believe more than likely it's because people were praying for me. I think God would have just let me die. I should have. There's no excuse whereby I should be back in the house of God. There's just no excuse. But for the grace of God. To do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding. But we think we do. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You better be careful about what you're taking pleasure in. Better be careful about that. I'd never do that, but I'd sure watch it. I'd sure have a good time watching it. Jeremiah chapter 23. Verse 24, let's go to verse 23. Jeremiah 23:23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? It's a rhetorical question. God's just asking, am I a faraway God that doesn't know what's going on, or a God at hand? Verse 24, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord. Did not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? We just don't believe it. It's just what it comes down to. We just don't believe that. Because we will go on in the villainy of our lives and the villainy of our thoughts. It won't. See, I'm speaking of specific sins, but let's go back to the thought that God hates your thoughts. We'll just think anything. It doesn't bother us. We'll let it run right through our heads, contemplate it, and consider it. Knowing that God's looking at that. God's seeing your every thought. Will you not repent of your own thoughts? Will you not consider that your thoughts are a problem? Your very thoughts? God sees them and he knows every one of them. Psalms chapter 90. Look at a prayer of Moses. Verse 1. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Are we troubled? Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. He didn't say he set them before us. No, they're right in front of his face. God's looking at them. God is beholding them, even of this whole congregation and everyone that shall hear this. Your iniquities and sins are right before the face of God. He's looking at them. Unless they be forgiven by God. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. I thank God for him doing that for me. Thank God for that. I'd sit there in the longing of my soul, just desperate that I might have peace with God. And now I can look at this and see, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Thank God for that. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us. This is a joyful verse to me. That's a joyful verse to me. In the years wherein we have seen evil, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. The work of our hands establish thou it. Really wanted to take a look at the one particular thought in there, though, that who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Even according to thy fear. Psalm chapter 7. It's actually not chapter. Psalms don't have chapters. It's just Psalm 7. Psalms 7. Verse 11. You're welcome. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. God right now knoweth those that be his servants. He knoweth the saints of God's, and he knoweth who is wicked. He knows who right now they have a life of no peace. There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. He knows those. And God is angry with them every day. Every day. Every day. They reject God's thoughts and they hold on to their own. They reject his words. If he turn not, this is God saying, speaking of the wicked, if he turn not, he will whet his sword. Meaning he's going to sharpen his sword. God's going to. He has bent his bow and made it ready. So God's got his bow. And he strung it. He hath also prepared him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. God's judgment is prepared. The only thing that's holding him back is his grace. The only thing holding him back. There is no reason by which you should not be killed even right now. But it's of his mercies that we are not consumed. It's of his mercies. We're almost as men walking on a platform somewhere, perhaps on a very high skyscraper, blindfolded, and just walking, and someone has explained to us that there is an edge. There is an edge. And you will fall off. This is this matter of death. Do you not know that it is appointed unto man once to die? You will die. And yet men don't know the day of their death. They do not know it. And so they're, going back to this analogy, they're on that platform and they're walking, and they have no idea when they will fall off that platform to their death. And yet they just keep going. And just keep going. I probably have years left. I probably have 20 years left. Probably. You probably do. I hope you do. I mean that sincerely. Hebrews chapter 10. We're not very afraid of God. That's not surprising because we don't believe him. We think he's such and one such as ourselves, a liar. Verse 28 of Hebrews 10 says, he that despised Moses' law, how did he despise it? It means he saw that law and thought, nah. He didn't sit there and secretly hate it so much. Man, I really hate that law. No, he just esteemed it as nothing and just broke it. He despised it. That's God's definition of despising. Just, nah. Nah. He despised it. He just did whatever he wanted. It didn't matter to him that Moses' law said that, and he just was going to break it. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite under the Spirit of grace? Think, why would my punishment be worse? Because you have a way out. You have a way out. God's offered his son. He has slain his own son. He's slain his own son, and yet we reject that. We think, no, there must be some other way. And I don't know what your thoughts are. I have no idea. There are a multitude of things that are against the word of God. Yea, every thought that is not according to the word of God is against it. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Fearful. Fearful. Because there is an appointment with God. And everyone will have it. They will have that. Doesn't matter how much you think you won't have that. Doesn't matter how long that you think you have. It doesn't matter. But we're sure we probably have more. You know what? I understand that my words are heavy and that they're hard. They are hard words. You know, Pastor Vernon, a couple months before I got saved, he had preached. I can't remember exactly what he titled it, but Taking Salvation in Christ Lightly. And at that point, I studied my Bible a decent amount. I read a lot. I went to many services. But at that point, I had decided I was not going to go down to a meeting and blame, because I'd already been to a lot of meetings. It was a really awkward thing to get more time off from work. I was pretty sure I might get fired possibly for that. And I just went home on a Sunday evening and I listened to that message and I was struck down by it. Because God smote me in my heart. No, you are taking this thing lightly. You are taking it lightly. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Have you got to God? Have you got to him yet? Have you got to him yet? Psalm 119. I hadn't got to him yet. I hadn't. I believe in obedience to God, I went to that meeting. God, from that moment forward, began to mightily work in me. Mightily. And you know what? That meeting was awful for me. I came away from that meeting under greater condemnation and heaviness than ever before. From that point forward, I was never free of the great heaviness on me, the weight of sin, and just looking for the wrath of God to fall, just waiting for the punishment to hit me. But thank God for it. You think, I don't want that. Well, you're going to get that when you die. Either way, you're going to get that when you die. Will you not come to him while you yet live? Will you not come? Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Amen. By taking heed. What does that even mean? Pay attention. How is the young man going to cleanse his way? He's going to look in the Bible and change what he thinks. And change his actions will change because of that. His life will change because he starts thinking differently because he agrees with this book. He's going to start acting differently too. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. In Proverbs chapter 3. If you think my thoughts are scattered, they probably are. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. We're going back to that same thought, that same concept. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not unto thine own understanding. What understanding do you have? What are your thoughts that do not agree with this book? What is it that you come to some thought, some conclusion in your eyes? And if you would ever chase that thought down, would see it does not agree with what this book says. Forsake that. Lean not on that understanding. Why? Because it's wrong. It's dead wrong. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. We're going to get into a new thought here, kind of. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's what God said as a commandment. One, be not wise in your own eyes. Okay, I'm not wise in my own eyes. You probably still are. I know I am. Be not wise in thine own eyes. I accept that. I take these words and I talk to God about them. I speak the heaviness of my own sin in my own thoughts out to God. You know what? He reveals Jesus Christ to me. He reveals his precious son to me. He reveals the blood to me. And how does he do that? In this book. He brings verses to my head about those things. He shows me exactly, and why is that wonderful to me? Because I believe it. I believe it. Make sure I got all the verses I wanted to there. Yes. Proverbs 16, verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Why have I approached the message that I have tonight in the way that I have? Because the message that God laid on my heart is that men don't fear him. Fear God. Fear God. Why have I approached in this way? Because you ought to fear him. You ought to. If my words have caused a dread a heaviness. Do not, I know the experience of that, have not. I've been under the condemnation of that under preaching so many years. And yet I just walk away and, nah, I don't think I'll fear God anymore. I don't like thinking about that because I didn't like to retain God in my knowledge. It's too horrible. It's too horrible. Except it's not. The unrighteous man thinks that. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. You know what? We're going to start in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And we're going to see in the first 6 verses that it is a description of what the Proverbs, who it's for, and what it's to do. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. That's the purpose. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. So it's telling you what the Proverbs are going to do, what they're set out to do. Now it's going to tell you what a recipient will do. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Now it continues in this next thought to show you more of what it's for. To understand a proverb and the interpretation. The words of the wise and their dark sayings. And now let's look at the first proverb of all of Proverbs. The first one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's the beginning of knowledge. Fearing God. Fearing Him. Proverbs chapter 9. Let's see it, fellas. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Once more, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So not only is it the beginning of knowledge, but it's also the beginning of wisdom. Say, I'm wise. Do you fear God? If you don't, you don't even have the beginning. You don't even have the beginning. Proverbs 8, should be over one page perhaps. 13, we're just going to look through some of these Proverbs. There's many Proverbs that mention the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 8, verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord. Now he's going to explain a little bit of what it is. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. That's what fearing God will do. That's the fear of the Lord, to hate evil. And then he breaks down what he means by that. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. You have those? You need to confess them to God. You need to talk to them about to God. I cannot stress this matter of relationship enough. We approach unto God, and yet we do not treat Him as a person. We hear the words of the preacher that says, He's in this book, so we read it. Yep. And then when we pray in a format, in a form, and not to a person who knows every thought. Talk them out. God will help you. God will help you. And in this book, He will answer your thoughts. Amen. He will answer your thoughts. And how will He do it? He will lead you to verses that explain exactly what it is that you're wondering about. Amen. And it may not be in the way that you expected. But His thoughts are not your thoughts. He's going to think differently than you, and He's going to react differently than you, but God will help you if only you'd approach unto Him. Proverbs chapter 10. I wonder, when will you do it? When will you approach unto God? You think, I will. When? Look back at the history of you. Look back at all the times where you have considered and thought that, yeah, I should do that. Have you ever? Take accountability. Proverbs 10, verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Promise of God, but towards the wicked, and it's not good. Proverbs 14, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. How? Because you'll hate evil, and God sure does like that. It's a fountain of life. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is little. Just looking at lots of verses with the fear of the Lord. Verse 33 of the same chapter, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So even wisdom, it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it's also the instruction of wisdom. It's what wisdom instructs you to do. That's why it's the beginning of wisdom, because that's the first thing it'll tell you to do. Chapter 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth the life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Great and wonderful promises to those with the fear of the Lord. 23, verse 17 says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. A lot of verses about fearing God. But we're not very afraid. We're not very afraid. You think, well, that's different. No, you need to be fearing God. And what does that mean? What are your fears? This is a God that by his very word, by his thoughts right now, he does hold everything together. Gravity is working in this room because God right now actively is causing that to happen. Causing the air molecules to circulate in this room that each person may have breath and life. Causing your heart to beat. We don't believe that. Nope. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 26. Fear them not. This is Jesus speaking. I believe it is. Yep. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Are you called of God to preach? This was a blessing to me, this verse. He said, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. So those things that God's ministered to me in the Word of God, and he's taught me in the Word of God, and he's revealed to me, he's instructed me, preach it. And indeed, that is what I do tonight. Long have I thought on these things, and yet I do not know if God will give me the liberty to speak every word. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me. Sounds good so far. But have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. know, all over, and I've heard it even in my own ears, men have said, well, when you're looking at that fear of God, it means like a reverence. And so they've taken one synonym for that word, and truly, that is a part of fear, is reverence. That is a part of it. And they've completely chopped off the part where you ought to be in dread of God. The part about that one who has power over your soul even right now to drop it into the flames of hell. You ought to it's a reverence. No, you ought to fear him. You ought to fear him. Can cast both body and soul into hell. 1 Corinthians. You know what? I may not have finished that thought. I'm going to go back to Isaiah 29. I'll be at 1 Corinthians 4 in a moment. Verse 14 of the same passage I was just reading in Isaiah 29. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord and their works in the dark. And they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? God does. God does. Will you not fear him? He's commanded you to do it, and you ought to do it. Your own thoughts don't want that to happen. It seems horrible. It does. I myself acknowledge that, even as a saved man. Sometimes I don't want to enter into a state where I'll have thought something, and I won't want to speak about that with God and acknowledge that I ought to be afraid because of what I've just thought. I don't want to. I don't want to be in heaviness right now. But in those times where even right then I take it before God and say, God, you just saw that. And I'll speak to him about it. In that conversation, my relationship with him is brought closer. Once more, he brings to my mind things about Jesus Christ, things about salvation and peace with God, things about the righteousness of God and my own unrighteousness, and things about the grace of God and his mercy towards me. And oh, the joy of those moments. Oh, the joy of those moments. And oh, the heaviness when I do reject it and instead go on and say, I don't want to have to think about this right now. I'm doing something else. And then I'm in heaviness. And then I'm in heaviness. There's joy in confession. 1 Corinthians, where I said I was going, chapter 4, verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. Then shall every man have praise of God. What's he going to do? Who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. He's going to do it. He will. He is absolutely going to do it. He said it. It's going to happen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 2, just turn to 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Renouncing those hidden things of dishonesty. God will bring them to light on a day. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all unrighteousness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish jesting, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, and no whoremonger, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Did not you have to come to God in repentance over those things? Did not you have to come to God in agony over those things? Oh, pick them not up again. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Don't we know that those hidden things, that if people just knew those hidden things, you'd be ashamed of them. We wouldn't want to speak of them. And since we're on the issue of the thoughts, I think most of us would be very ashamed if we were to let people see the thoughts that we'd entertained. Not just entertained, but played with days at a time, weeks at a time, months at a time, yea, years of our lives, caught up in thoughts that we would be so ashamed if people knew that we thought that. Yes. That we thought that. John chapter 3. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And that's really what it comes down to. It's why men don't fear God. It's why men won't come to God, because they don't want to be reproved. They're not going to be. They think they're right. Deep down, I'm right. It's messed up what you think. That's what they think. But no, it's messed up what you think, and it's right what God thinks.
That's right.
Proverbs chapter 1, and this is our last passage to look at. We were here earlier where we saw that first proverb being the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That was that fear of the Lord. That's the first proverb he put out there. Verse 24, though, of this same chapter, Proverbs 1, says, and it's wisdom speaking now, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. How did wisdom call? She called in this chapter of this book and said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel. How did we do that? You said, I'm not going to do that. You said, that counsel's bad. I'm not doing it. You've set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, and oh, it's coming. Oh, will you not turn to God before it comes? And it is coming. But there's coming a day when it does come upon you, and it's too late, that wisdom will laugh at you. Wisdom will laugh at you. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, Then shall they call upon me. It's too late. But I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge. How did they hate knowledge? He said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. They hated that. And did not choose the fear of the Lord. That's a choice. God just said it was. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And oh, isn't it destroying them by the millions in the U.S.? But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Brother Cook, would you close us?
Father, help us to take these things that were given to us tonight and consider them from day to day. Help us, Lord, to take the words of that book, your book, very, very seriously. Oh God, we have a nation that's gone awry. Lord, it's a madness because the people turned from the living God. Lord, we pray that you bring us back. Lord, we're not asking for a fire escape from hell. Lord, we know that we need correction, and there'll be some consequences. But God, we pray, Lord, that you would have mercy on us, Lord, and teach us and save us. Thank you, God, for coming to meet us tonight and counsel us. And bless Brother Stephen and his family. Thank you, God, for providing him for us this evening. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.